Hello.
My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail.
And this is the Polyglot Progress Podcast. Episode 20.
Yes.
With a synchronized intro and a new location and in person for the both of us.
Really nice. Episode 20 seems like a good time to do this.
We are overheated in a college dorm that is too small.
Yeah, so you get us together, but the downside is you get a little bit of weird dorm noises. So it's currently like 93 degrees here in my second story dorm room. So it's very hot. So we do have fans on, so you're going to hear that. And we apologize, but it's what's keeping us from melting and also keeping my axolotls cool. So
I'm taking one for the team. I'm trying to block the fan so it doesn't hit the mic as much.
One for the team. And also there's like a weird
Somebody's playing music loudly.
Party thing happening outside. So if you hear that, that's also a little weird. So today we're going to be talking about time management, but before we do that, we do have a few updates. So if you hate listening to us talk about updates and ourselves, skim ahead. Because I know that there's always that one person that's like, they don't start talking about it until like 10 minutes in. So if you really don't want to hear all these things, just skip ahead. So first, we'd like to thank our sponsor for this podcast, who technically didn't ask to be a sponsor.
I think he asked not to be, but we're going to thank him anyway because we want to just say thanks.
We do have a Patreon reward, which is like sponsor the podcast. And we'll promote your thing or whatever. If you want us to, we'll like give your blog a shout out or something if you sponsor us. And Andy Roberts so kindly donated that amount last month on Patreon, and well, he didn't give us anything to shout out or anything, and didn't necessarily ask to be a sponsor. We really wanted to kind of dedicate this podcast to him because he's also been a patron for a long time and always leaves the greatest comments and things.
And they're just so great.
So I guess as opposed to a sponsorship, this is more of a dedication.
Yes.
To Andy Roberts.
Exactly.
Yes. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Andy.
And then our next update, sort of related to thanking people and the channel.
Thank you to Flesh Academy for sponsoring the giveaway. Thank you very much for that.
Yes. And then our next
schedule.
Yes. Next new channel related thing. As you know, we're at school. We both go to the same school now. This isn't like a visit, so you will get more videos with us together.
Indeed.
And also this means that Polyglot Progress can be run significantly more smoothly.
I think can be run smoothly.
Good thing we're not an English channel. So basically, Polyglot Progress does have a bit better management now in the sense that we're in the same place. However, we're also very busy now, so Polyglot Progress has to take a step back, but we sat down the other night, we kind of planned out a lot of things, how we're going to be moving forward with the channel, and we're planning to sit down actually in about a week or so and kind of update it, because we made ourselves like quarterly business plans a few months ago, or like we made the first one, so next quarter starts in October, so we're going to sit down and kind of reevaluate ourselves, but for now, the plan is new videos every Monday. But that's it. Instead of 3 videos a week like we'd been doing, and then I guess now recently 0 videos a week.
We're trying to improve it from none to at least one for while we can.
Yeah, you never know. In the future, we might be able to upload more. We've definitely had a lot of friends reach out to us saying that they want to post things.
Yeah, we have.
We do have a few guest videos coming, so that might allow us to be posting more often, because if we're not the ones making the video, obviously it's
we'll have a little bit easier
to put it up. So the thing is a video a week, that'll switch off between a podcast, a video from me, and then a podcast, and then a video from Matt. Sometimes, obviously, it'll be a video with both of us, but that'll be kind of how it works, and sometimes there might be extra videos, whether it's from a guest or from one of us sitting down to do an extra video or an extra podcast or whatever. Live streams and things. But just in case you're wondering when to check back for new videos, every Monday there should be at least something on here. And we say that kind of lightly because we are very, very busy. And sometimes we're not going to be able to get it up, especially because the Wi-Fi is so bad for uploading here. It says that it'll take like 4 hours, and then 4 hours later it's like 8 hours. So sometimes we might be aiming to upload Monday, and it might get up on, like, Thursday or something, just because of the nature of the Wi-Fi here.
Yeah, so we apologize in advance if any problems like that arise.
Yeah, so bear with us. We're going to try and do our best because we do definitely want to get Polyglot Progress moving in the direction we want it to go in, indeed, which is involves lots of uploads, but
onwards and upwards.
We're a little bit busy, so yeah, there's that. And then just generally, as every podcast, our language updates.
You want to go what first? Have you been? Oh, shoot. I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's been...
Last podcast was, like, July, I think. So anything that's happened since then.
Since July.
I think that was when the last one was. Maybe August?
I have not had a lot going on, sadly. What is one thing that has been happening involves her, and that is she's kind of running a French coffee hour here, which I've been attending, and it's really great. It's nice to just meet kids on campus and her professor who speaks French, and we all just kind of sit around for an hour at Starbucks drinking tea or coffee, and it's really nice, and it's just a positive environment, and it makes me want to host more, like, language learning events. Yeah, it's just been, like, a really positive experience, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it on here more, but it's been very encouraging, and, like, having even a teacher in a very informal setting is nice, because, you know, there's a good amount of, like, I have somebody to turn to if I need help, but it's all really kind of on me, and it's a very real-world experience, so I think that's kind of been what I've been getting out of it. Other than that, I have sadly not had a whole bunch of language in my life recently. This has been something we've been talking about a lot, and, like, we have been trying to figure out ways to get language in our lives a bit more, because being back at school, it has been more hectic, and it's a lot easier to just not have it in your life, because, I mean, not for you, because one of your majors is French, but for
we'll
me right now, I'm just creative writing, so it's mainly English, but, I write a lot of fiction or read a lot of stuff that involves other languages, so that's a nice way for me to get it in to my daily life. And then I have been wanting to read more German authors, read more French authors, that I can, and so that's kind of been on my radar, trying to keep that in mind, and I'm sure by the next podcast I will have already implemented these goals. But as far as learning new languages, I have not been able to keep up with anything. We've both kind of decided this year is going to be mainly maintaining, so maintenance, and so I think that's mainly what we'll be speaking on this year when it comes to language learning, but we'll try to give our tips still on language learning as we can.
Yeah, so, like Matt said, we're going, my goal is mainly to maintain languages. I talked about in several videos over the summer, I was like, oh, I'm taking 19 credits next semester, it'll be great, I'll have more time than I ever had before, because last year I took 22 and then 21 credits, and so I was like, oh, wow, I'll have all this time to, like, learn a language for once. And then, about a week before school started, a new class got added that is very relevant, actually, to languages as well. It's extremely relevant to me in general, and it's very important that I take this class right now for a variety of reasons, and I'll get into that in a second. So now I'm taking 23 credits, which is nuts to anyone that knows anything about the credit system. Yeah, Matt's taking 18 right now, but 20 for the second half of the semester.
Soon, so it'll be 20.
Yeah, for the second half. So things are a little bit nuts. So I'm only sticking with languages that I've already studied, and by maintaining, I want to keep them at the level they're already at, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I won't be learning, because I also would like to progress in them if I can. I already feel like my French is progressing actually a lot in ways that I didn't know that it could, because of one of the classes that I'm taking, so I guess this is a good way to talk about the classes I'm taking. So for French this year, I'm taking actually French translation, then I'm also taking translation theory, which is sort of translation related but not necessarily a certain language, and it's really interesting because there's a lot of Spanish kids in the class too, so I get to hear Spanish a lot, and it makes me really want to go study Spanish, but I can't right now. And then I'm taking Francophone Cinema, like Matt said, which is a cinema studies class. It's like a theory course for film. However, everything's in French, which is a great way to practice. I'm learning a lot about the Francophone world, and it's a prerequisite for a thing that I can possibly do. I'll need to apply, so I don't want to talk about this too much, but there is a possibility that I'll get to do a program, which will mean that I'll get to make a film or work on a film in a Francophone country over the summer, which would be really cool, and that's why I ended up overloading and taking 23 credits, because being a film major and a French major, it was kind of like the perfect thing for me. So I'm very excited about that, if it's a possibility, and even if not, I could always try again next year. And I mean, taking Francophone cinema is great anyway, so it's all good. I'm taking lots of French classes this semester, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm learning a lot about translation too. I think I'm definitely gonna make a video at some point about my translation process. In case people are interested, I don't know how many people that watch this channel are interested in or do things with translation, but it
I'm
could
sure
be
a good amount.
Could be cool.
I get some good French practice in due to fencing.
I take
a fencing class.
Yeah, and like Matt said, I started French Coffee Hour. Mm-hmm. How I ended up starting to run a club type thing while taking 23 credits, I'm not sure, but I'm now like an organizer of French Coffee Hour at my school, which is really cool, and it means that, again, more French practice. So far this semester has been a lot of French for me, which is fine, but I would like to find a way to sort of keep my other three foreign languages that I've studied going, so I'm working on sort of a system right now. I wrote down the other day all the ways I can practice reading, writing, and listening, and I'm sort of trying to implement those now. And if everything goes well, I'll certainly talk about that later. And also, if everything goes super well, I might add a new language, just because I do have some interesting theories I want to test using new languages. To kind of show you guys, like, can you learn a language through and then like X method?
Yeah.
So that's I definitely want to test those with some different new languages. But that might have to wait a little bit. We'll see.
I'm really excited for this.
So that's basically how my language stuff has been going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to be posting the final summer goals update video soon.
Yeah, you filmed that a while ago.
I filmed it, but I think I'm going to refilm it just because we sort of got all of our updates out of the way in this video. And then I also I wasn't super happy with the video. I sort of realized as I was filming the video how disappointed I was in my final month of summer language-wise. And just in general, I feel really disappointed in how my summer goals ended up working out, just because, when I made my goals, they were extremely ambitious, and people were like, you can't accomplish all those. The thing is, I think I could have had I had time, but also at the same time, when I made those goals, there were not certain plans that I did not know were going to be made throughout my summer made yet. Basically, I made those goals off of how I thought my summer was gonna go, and then my family kind of dumped several trips on me, so there ended up being a lot more traveling to visit family that I didn't know was going to be happening, that sort of took out from my language time and then sort of totally threw off my language learning and meant that I didn't really get to my goals. And it's just really disappointing when you have all those goals and then you like look back and you're like
whoops,
didn't do those.
So
and also just I had to focus more on German for the trip, I think, than I thought I was going to. And so it meant that I didn't necessarily study some of the other things, like Japanese, like I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but hopefully, I was watching some language videos earlier, and I kind of felt my motivation coming back as well, which I think is really great for this upcoming year in me trying to get language learning back in my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, I've always struggled with just maintaining languages and keeping them in my life. So I feel like if I can get that to work out this semester, then I can implement it throughout my whole life.
Honestly.
So, on that note, knowing how much we've got going on this semester,
seems a good time to talk about time management.
Yes. And we're going to kind of talk about this very broadly, both in terms of just, like, life in general, and in terms of languages, but also if you just take the life in general stuff, it can obviously be carried over into languages. Mm-hmm. Some of these are tips, though. This is how I balance 23 credits for everyone that's like, how? It's how I do that, and then it's how I manage to do other things as well as that and still relax with 23 credits, sometimes learn languages. It also explains all the people that have commented on so many of my videos that are like, you should really study one language at a time.
Yeah, honestly.
This has become such a frequent comment for me, and I'm not sure why, because there are also the people that are like, I guess you could, but it would be helpful if you didn't. And I'm like, we've talked about this in the podcast. I recognize that. But you definitely can learn more than one language at a time, and it simply comes down to time management, and definitely don't try to learn 10 languages if you have 10 minutes of free time a day, but
really,
I think
well said.
So I'll make a video more on that in the future, but for now, all of these can kind of explain to you how, why over the summer, when I don't have any classes, I could study multiple languages a day, because you just gotta implement a little bit of time management.
Honestly.
So, that's what we're gonna talk about.
It's funny, because right off the bat, I want to talk about how, for time management for me, isn't always about the time it takes to do something. Of course, if there are time-based tasks, then you need to associate a time with that task, or like use like a Pomodoro method, which means like setting a timer for like 25 minutes, resting for 5 minutes, and doing another 25 minutes, so like increments like that.
Yeah, I was gonna recommend that, actually.
Yeah, and that works for some people. For me, I don't necessarily know. I like kind of deep work, where like I'm working for a long amount of time and I can kind of jump between tasks as necessary. But when it comes to me, it's more so about breaking down my workload into tasks, manageable tasks. I want to mention how, like, saying, oh, I want to do 30 minutes of French, 30 minutes of languages isn't specific. You want to have, like, 30 minutes of French, and even that's not specific. You want to have 30 minutes of reading. That's still not that specific. 30 minutes of reading, like, Die Verwandlung in German, like, that's more specific, and, like, that can be done, or, like, 20 pages, like, concrete goals that you can do and then see, I did that. I think those really help when you're setting down to, like, assign a time to get things done.
Yeah, I think also, like I said, I sat down and wrote down all the ways I could practice reading, writing, listening, speaking in languages.
I think it's
helpful to block out a chunk of time where you just list certain things that you want to be doing with languages. So that way, when you go to study a language, you sort of already have a plan, because I think if you spend all of your time, like, I want to go study French, and then you're like, what should I be doing today? Looking for worksheets online and stuff, that ends up eating up a ton of time.
Definitely.
So if you set a time that's dedicated to organizing your language resources and making yourself a language plan, it definitely helps and allows you to spend more time actually studying when you go to study.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I find, yeah, because the whole thing, that's why I enjoy bullet journals and to-do lists so much, because I get to just put down, I want to do this right now. And when it comes to doing multiple languages, you can say, like, I have colors for all different subjects in my bullet journal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, German will be green, and then French will be blue, and, like, it'll just change like that. And so, you know, it also helps me visualize how much time I'm putting towards different, like, where are you putting most of your energy? So if I see, like, oh, I've got German these 3 days. There was no French this week. This is what you did.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, I did make a video on my language tracker, my bullet journal, which I will confess I do not have at the moment because I moved to a new bullet journal for this school year, and I haven't had time really to move any of my general spreads in. It's really only been weekly and monthly things because I've just been a busy little bee. I like moved in and then I had class 2 days later, so it was kind of really crazy. So I really haven't had time to like really sit down and just like make a nice spread for myself to practice languages, but hopefully maybe even tonight I'll do that, just because I think that will definitely help me in getting back to a routine of studying languages every day, or at least using them in my life if I can have some way to monitor if I've done anything.
It'll keep
or if it's been like several weeks and I really have not done anything.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's a nice list you have.
Thank you. You're covering up your list, so I can't see it.
Yours looks significantly nicer than mine
does.
Does
it?
I don't know, yours all typed as bullet points. I'm just like,
I don't have that option.
Yeah, so I also just want to recommend planning and task management in general. I definitely, my bullet journal, I've said before, like, made me so many times more productive than I ever used to be.
A lot of people are afraid of starting a bullet journal, or, like, they're afraid of, like, structure and all that, and, like, that's totally fine. If you just have a notepad and you go through a page...
Yeah, I also know there's a lot of people that pointed out mine, they're like, you spend way too much time on this, and I just want to point out that I spend, like, 5 minutes a day on that, but then sometimes I, like, get bored in class and I doodle in it, and that's why mine looks nice, and that's something that I enjoy. If we were to show you Matt's bullet journal, it's literally just lists of things to do.
Mine's, like, not pretty.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
But the bullet journal literally is meant to just be whatever you want, and sometimes I like making mine look nice.
Yeah, she gets all artsy-fartsy,
and
mine's just, like, minimalist.
The difference is, like, that's me relaxing. Instead of, like, sketching in a sketchbook, I just kind of, like, make my bullet journal look nice, and then it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't necessarily need to be how you do it, and also you could just use a planner, but I think definitely keeping track of what you need to get done, it also just clears up your head so much, and totally. I think makes it easier to get more work done.
And just once you get them out, and, like, it's kind of like taking food on a strainer, or just, like, anything, mm-hmm. like dirt, and just, like, straining out all these thoughts that you have and getting them and, like, concentrating them into, like, yeah. finite things that you can pick out and then put in your workload and, like...
I definitely think it makes it a lot easier, too, because even just reducing your stress level helps you manage your time so much better. And, like, I wanted to talk about that later, too, like, being healthy and how that helps.
Yeah.
Because just, like, mm-hmm. if you're trying to do languages and then you're like, oh man, I was supposed to do laundry today. Like, if you have a list instead that's like, do laundry, study French, do paper due tomorrow or something, like, then you've got your nice list of things and you're like, ah, yes, I know what homework, what house tasks, what work tasks, whatever it is you have going on. You're like, I know what I need to do, and then here's how I can structure language in. And so I also yeah. recommend doing, like, sort of a weekly plan or monthly plan for yourself. So, like, having a calendar where you just know what you have going on. So, any appointments and stuff, mm-hmm. or classes or work schedule, whatever it is you do in your life. And then figuring out where in that you can fit languages in. So, if you know all day Thursday you are gone, you're never at your house, there's no way you can study languages, don't schedule anything for that day.
Yeah.
Like, be like, okay, Wednesdays I'm not doing as much. So then you can kind of figure out where it's best to do languages, where maybe you could only do like a 5-minute reading, and where you could sit down and work on a grammar textbook, that sort of thing. Like, just figuring things out like that, I think, helps a lot.
Definitely, I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've mentioned before, like, it works for some people to give themselves, like during the Ed1, it's the Ed1 challenge, it's there's a daily amount of time you need to spend studying a language.
Mm-hmm.
And that varies from half an hour to, I think, like, as an much
hour.
Time as you want.
Oh, yeah, I guess you can add more.
And so, like, I started out in Ed1 with an hour a day. And so...
And I think you dropped to a half hour.
I dropped
to
45 minutes, I think.
I think you did 45, and then I think you dropped
it
again.
May have been a half
if
hour,
I remember
yeah.
correctly.
Either
I think
way.
That I think you did both increments. Like, you just kept dropping.
Yeah, but it's because... setting yourself an hour of just, I'm doing French.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's like, different people have different finite goals in mind, and when you're doing Ed1, it's not like they give you any structure. It's literally the same as just learning a language on your own. Sometimes there's like, oh, you have a mini challenge to do. But when you're learning a language on your own and you're like, I want to spend 2 hours learning this language every day, you need to have structure in those 2 hours to make sure that you're actually getting stuff done. Because if you're not getting anything done, you're just sitting there thinking, man, I'm doing French right now.
Mm-hmm.
How great it is to do French. Like, you won't be getting anything done. So, like, even if you break it up between work and play and you say, like, oh, I'm doing Norwegian, I'm going to watch Scum for 30 minutes, watch 20 minutes, watch an episode. Then I'm going to do, you know, 5 pages in this grammar book.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to see if, like, there's a tutor on a talkie, yada, 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 you continue onward.
Yeah, I think the other thing I was going to talk about is the work smarter, not harder or longer thing.
Yes,
There's
definitely.
Kind of this, I guess they did a study on it or something, but there's this thing where if you say I'm going to study for an hour, you end up filling up, or if you say, like, I'm going to work on this paper for an hour, even if that paper was only going to take you 30 minutes, you end up taking up the whole hour because you fill
yeah.
the amount of time that you have. So I'd say in general, it's actually probably not that great to give yourself time tasks when it comes to things.
I agree.
And that's generally a time management thing. So I think moving away from the thing of being like, I study French for an hour a day, it can be a good goal if you know you have a free hour every day that you want to try to fill up, but I think it's better to make
yeah.
yourself then a list of things that you want to accomplish in that hour and make it slightly bigger than you can probably actually do. That's part of why my summer goals list was so ambitious, because if not, then you could easily just be like, I've got all summer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like,
when you have a mountain of goals,
I think
it's
better
to get a chunk done.
Yeah, so I think, in a sense, it's better to give yourself things that are maybe a little too ambitious and strive to get those done.
Mm-hmm.
I think reasonable goals are good, too. I usually try and set myself things that I very easily think I can accomplish, but I try and make it on the harder side for me. So I'd say definitely instead of setting yourself time things, give yourself things you want to do. And if you want to be studying an hour every day, that's fine, but make sure you have things like, I'd like to get through 3 textbook chapters a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
so then
I want to...
I'm going to do half of chapter 1 today,
mm-hmm.
half of chapter 2 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then if you get ahead in one day, you can just cross that out, add the next day.
Yeah.
And if you want to do more, because it's a great way to like trick yourself into thinking, oh, I'm getting ahead in this curriculum. You know,
yeah, or then spend the other, like, if you finish the chapter in a half hour, then spend the other half hour, like you said, doing some sort of play thing. So
mm-hmm.
watching an episode of a show in that language,
listen to music,
or
yeah.
doing something else. But in general, I think doing things that are more task-oriented helps your time management. I know a lot of people try
definitely,
to block
definitely.
Out, like, 30 minutes, this thing, 20 minutes, this thing, and that can be helpful if you have a hard time putting a reasonable amount of tasks for a day, if you need to think out how long each thing will take you. But I think in general it's better to go off of giving yourself assignments for the day and then going off of that instead for time management.
Yeah, I much more prefer to, I've already said this, I much more prefer a concrete goal of like 10 pages in book A,
mm-hmm.
20 pages in book B, and like if that's, whether this is, whether these are language textbooks, so, like, it's 10 pages of chapter this, or, like, I want to get through half of chapter this,
mm-hmm.
Which I like to do, and actually, even in my bullet journals before, I've created little, it's kind of like a language tracker, but I use it differently, because, again, I like seeing that I'm getting through something, and,
mm-hmm.
so when it comes to a teach yourself or a colloquial or some sort of language course, I will a lot of the times draw out little boxes for each chapter. So if it's 20
mm-hmm.
20 chapters in a book, I'll draw out 20 boxes and I'll label them chapter 1, 2 through 20. And then I'll be able to color them in as I go along. And it shows me that I'm making physical progress now. And this is just good for me and like motivation.
Yeah, I also did this when I was trying to sort of focus on relearning Bulgarian or refreshing it or whatever.
Yeah, you did that.
This summer I... sort of made a thing a bit like that. Basically, I wrote out every sort of thing I'd learn, I guess. So I put each chapter from the colloquial book and then also just, like, sort of, I don't know, topics. So, like, I had, like, gender, present tense, and then the 3 types of present tense verbs and that sort of thing. And I basically went through and I quizzed myself, and then once I felt like I'd relearned it and had a good hold on it after
check
a few days, I'd check it off. So, I felt like that was helping a lot.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever write your tasks in your target language to motivate yourself a little bit?
I personally don't, just because I feel like it...
I do.
I can't handle it when my bullet journal's in, like, 6 different languages for
really?
Some reason. Which is weird. You'd think that I'd actually enjoy that, but I feel like it just gets a little overwhelming for me, I feel like... I'll have, like, little motivational quotes in my bullet journal in other languages, but I feel like having my tasks, it's already a lot with all the colors that I use, so I feel like I just need it to be, like, a quick and easy thing.
I see. Okay. Because a lot of times I like to put, like, 13 Seiten, die Verwandlung, or something like that, and I keep using that as an example, but, yeah.
But you've been trying to do that for, like, 3 months, so it's a good example.
I'm so bad.
Let's see, I guess other things that involve schedules.
I've already gone through all my notes, so...
Oh, I've got a lot more. You can just kind of talk to me. I'm sure you'll relate to a lot of these anyway.
Okay, cool.
The other thing that works for scheduling is something that I haven't necessarily done, because
maybe
I think
I've
it's a little bit extreme. You haven't, but I've showed
times?
These to you. No, but I've seen 2 different methods that I thought are very interesting, and I might try them at some point. In fact, I might try them soon to try and get language learning into my crazy hectic schedule right now. But, they're sort of, like, time schedules, which are specifically related to managing everything you want to do in your life within the amount of time you have in a week.
I hate these.
So there's 2 different ones. There's one that I saw that was, like, write out all of your courses or, I guess, and your work or... just anything you might have going on, and you assign a number of hours per thing. So, like, if you feel like you spend 30 hours a week doing homework for a certain class, you put that in, and you do it for everything you have, and then you have a certain number of hours for social, for rest, and then, like, other things like that, and then you've got a number of free hours, and you're supposed to have a lot of free hours. There's, like, a certain number, so that way you have enough time for when random stuff comes up, and you also have a certain amount of rest time, and that doesn't change. So basically you're left with every task that you want to do along with like leisure time and buffer time. That one confused me a little bit. Obviously, I don't have the best handle on that. And then the other one is there's a YouTuber called Lavender, and she was talking about a schedule that she made that was to get everything she wants to do in her life in her life. She does a lot of different things. She, like, makes music. She's writing a book. She made, like, a planner type thing. She runs a YouTube channel and a podcast and a blog and does photography. So, so she's trying to balance a lot of stuff. So what she did was she made her, like, ideal week. And you print out a schedule, and it's got every hour of the day for a whole week.
Oof.
And you give yourself a set schedule, and you're not necessarily going to follow this.
Yeah.
But it's an ideal week. Man. So you put when you'd be working, when you whether that's, like, work or school work, and then you put when you'd, like, exercise, when you'd sleep, when you'd eat, when you'd... And then you, like, manage to put all of your things that you're interested in doing in. So then... You don't necessarily follow that, but it allows you to sort of know where you're headed. And if that's something that you feel works for you, I feel like that doesn't necessarily work for me just because I like to change my daily schedule every day. So while I sort of know like when I have class and then when I work, I can't necessarily give myself like every morning, 9 a.m., I wake up, I do French. Because that just like doesn't work for me as a person.
I tried to do that this summer, you remember?
Yeah, and it actually, I feel like it worked for you a bit.
It did. I found, because I find that, like, having a good amount of structure works for me, and then if my body just, like, doesn't wake up to the alarm clock or doesn't wake up by the time I need to, it's my fault, and I ruin the day, basically.
Mm.
Because that's, like, being late for work, and then, like, your entire day is, like, crappy for me. Because, what happened? I just, like, what I tried to do was, I came into a writing program this semester, and so when we got back from Europe, I wanted to make sure that I was writing every day and reading a certain amount and just, you know, stepping up my game a little. I wanted to have an amount of short stories done so I felt ready to come into the semester and felt like I had a bit of more experience behind me. And I can safely say I think I do, and I'm glad I gave myself this time because I set myself a schedule and I believe I would wake up at around 7 or 9, depending on the day. And then I think weekdays I woke up at 7, weekends 9, or something like that. And then I'm an early riser, so I can do that. I can wake up early. But so what I would do was I literally had a little program for myself that I like made, which was called like writing until 11 o'clock, or writing until 11, I would call it.
What a
great thing. And like, but it worked for me. I like put a little sticky note down that I was like, I'm writing until 11, and I'd stick it wherever I'm working. So like if I'm in the kitchen at the kitchen table, the chair next to me had this, and people would come over and look at it, and they'd be like, oh, can't talk to Matt right now, he's writing. And I'll be like, thank you. But this would apply as well to my language learning, because I wanted to make sure I was balancing both. And I can also safely say I did not balance both very well.
Let's say, wait a minute.
I'm really awful at balancing even two things in my life. I'm either one or the other as it comes. And I think this is just like something of my personality, because I've struggled for the past like 2 years trying to balance whatever two... I always have two interests at a time. And like I think for the past set while, it has been language learning and writing. And like just these two... they're constantly butting heads in my mind, because I can really only be doing one or the other. I can't really mix both of them in a way that works for me, which sucks. But I would try to give myself this time, and so I would say, what I did was I did work for Polyglot Progress every day on this schedule from like 1 to 3.
Yeah, we set ourselves sort of like a half hour a day was what we were doing over the summer for. More so social media stuff. We sort of filmed videos in different time
responding
over the
comments,
summer.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like responding to comments, checking up on like messages on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere people message us, basically. And we're sort of doing that this year, but definitely not 30 minutes a day. So we might take a little bit longer to reply to your comments. But we haven't replied in a few weeks because we've been so busy. So at least we'll talk to you. Yeah, we're definitely a bit busy, so if we take a while to respond
it's
to you, we're
personal.
Not, like, ignoring
oh
you
my
or
goodness,
anything.
No.
We're just a little bit hectic, which is also why we might respond to you immediately, but we also might take, like, 3 weeks, because
yeah.
it's, like,
it's hit or
we
miss.
We could be on the phone right then and there and be able to be like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
But we definitely did schedule Polyglot Progress in, and that is a goal, again, for the semester.
Yeah, and it made me feel so much more productive having these, like, having a YouTuber we follow, Katie Tassick, is that her channel? She's, like, a BookTuber.
Mm-hmm.
What is her name, Kate?
No, Kat.
Kat, sorry. I always think, because the YouTube channel is Katie Tassick, but it's Kat is her name. She gave herself, she, like, tried to give herself, like, a 9-to-5 balancing YouTube and writing.
Yeah, and she made a video, and it's called...
I Need Bullshit Proof Goals.
There it is. Watch it. It's good.
Actually, I put the stress on the wrong word. I Need Bullshit Proof Goals. Because I always read it wrong. I read it as, like, I Need BS Proof Goals. But I was like, what's a proof goal?
Wow.
So I kept saying it wrong and messing myself up. Goals that are bullshit proof is what she needs. And I agree that I need that too, because, man, it's so easy for me to just not get anything done, and that's why I need lists, and I need her, we have to give each other our lists in the morning to make sure that
the other actually do that sometimes.
Done.
When we have really, really busy days, we will send each other pictures of our bullet journal. I did it the other day. He was, like, in the library or in class or something, and I was like, here's my bullet journal, and, like, got my work done.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of times, just... The other person doesn't even need to bring it up after. It's just the act of sending
somebody. Yeah, so actually, that's
list.
A good thing for if you have task management trouble and that relates to your time management trouble.
Like,
I'm not sure. Shh, don't bring it up. But if you do have trouble with that, then I suggest having, like, a buddy.
Put it on social media. This is what I'm going to get done today. I'll check in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how I did.
And,
College Info Geek, I think, does that, like, putting out what he's gonna do on social media, and then, coming back, and, like, it's, like, because it's, like, he does that thing where he has it, if he doesn't wake up to his alarm clock, he, like, owes somebody money.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, whoever, if he doesn't wake up and shut his alarm clock off by a certain time, the alarm clock,
man,
like, sends
I
out a
tweet. Man, I lose all my money.
The alarm clock sends out a tweet, and, like, the first person that, like, responds to it gets that money. And so, like,
oh my
one time it happened, and he was like, no, but my alarm clock literally malfunctioned. Like, I was awake, and the guy was like, okay. But it's, like, a really weird system. Like,
goes to follow him on Twitter.
I'm like, that wouldn't work for me. I don't know.
Wow, yeah.
That just scares me.
I think it's also about finding what motivates you. So if you're a person that needs the opposite of rewards, consequences, when you don't do things like that, like paying someone if you don't wake up on time, or if you're a person that needs positive reinforcement, like buying yourself a gift, or like letting yourself watch a certain show, or like doing something nice for yourself when you accomplish things, then definitely figure out what that is and set it for yourself, whether it's like for that day, for that week, for that month, and whether it's related to specifically language learning or just to time management in general. If you're like, oh, if I get everything done, or if I can do all of my language goals for this month, I will treat myself to, in my case, it would probably be a new language learning textbook, because that's who I am as a person.
Truly.
Like, know that and do that for yourself. Obviously, that's not the same for every person. Like, honestly, add one, they have you pick a reward or consequence if you complete or don't complete the challenge. I set myself with a reward, and I completed the challenge. I was one of the three finalists, actually, and I never gave myself that reward, because I just, that's not something that I feel like I need. I'm a very, like, intrinsically motivated person, so, like, giving myself a gift does nothing for me. Honestly, I'd much rather just, like, get it done and feel the satisfaction of that, so, like, completing add one was enough for me, and then being voted as one of the three finalists was, like, an extra reward. But, I think I said I was gonna go out to dinner with friends or something if I won, and, like, that just, like, I can do that, and it would have been great, and I would have had a fun time, but I probably would not have related it to me. Like, in my head, it would have never been connected with me winning the challenge, because I just don't
think
of, my brain just, like, doesn't associate things like that with me getting things done and accomplishing things, and sometimes I feel like it is nice to kind of reward myself, like, if I'm like, man, I, like, finally did that semester, I'm gonna, like, go play Sims for a week when I get home for Christmas break.
Which you're gonna do anyway.
Which, yeah. But, I mean, I think beyond that, like, I'm not necessarily a person that's like, I'm gonna go buy myself this cool thing if I, like, accomplish everything I need to do, just because, like...
Like that
it doesn't really work for me in that way. We overheard
somebody in Starbucks who was like, I just spent $400. I just accidentally spent $400 on clothes. And we were like, could you imagine what it would be like having that much money to just, like, burn at
will? Well, that was different. Like, yeah, because then also there's, for me, like, I can't spend, like, a ton of money just because I did something, because I don't have the funds to be doing that. Oh, so it would honestly kind of stress me out more. But just even in the sense of, like, going and doing something fun, like, it just doesn't really...
As a reward.
I don't feel that as a reward so much. I try and do it for myself just to keep myself, like, mentally healthy, but I don't necessarily relate it to me working. It's, like, two separate things for me. But if you are a person that feels motivated by having a reward on the other side and telling yourself, like, I will go out and do this, or I will buy myself this if I complete this challenge for myself, then definitely recognize that and do it, because there's no problem with that, and it can be a great way to motivate yourself if that is how your brain works. And another thing, you said you're an early riser.
Yes.
I think a definitely a great thing for time management is find out when you work best. Yeah. Because every person has, like, a different time when they work best for things, especially even sometimes for, like, different things. Like, I feel like I'm better with creative tasks at night and sort of...
And I'm the opposite. I'm better for creative tasks, like, before the sun is up. Like, if I could... I used to, I wrote, like, 40,000 words of a novel, in, like, 10th grade. So, like, it was the worst thing I've ever written. But I would, I like, couldn't sleep, so I'd be up at, like, 2 a.m. in my living room, like, on my dad's computer typing, and I would just be up for hours. And so, like, it was, you could either see that as early in the morning or night. It was typically after I've gone to sleep and I'm up now. And so, like, doing that, I'm my most creative self. It's, like, I love getting up early, because just, like, I feel like it's a different world, and this is, like, where I can get all philosophical and all that, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, but I think just in general, like, sometimes it's knowing when you work best. Like, maybe you're better in the afternoon. Some people are better when they first wake up. I feel like I get my best, like, academic work done as soon as I wake up. Like, I need to wake up and then, like, work. And then around, like, between, like, 3 and 4, honestly, I get nothing done. And I'm, like, aware of this. And then I can be productive after, like, 4 p.m., but, so I think it's just kind of learning, and this just requires a bit of trial and error, trying to get work done, kind of realizing what hours you don't work so well during.
And kind of accounting for that.
Accounting and, like, for it, and even maybe
planning.
Setting other tasks. Like, if you just need to reply to emails at a certain time or something that requires, obviously they would need to be less brain power emails, but, like, something that maybe doesn't require as much focus or thought from you, or, like, if you need to, like, watch a film or something for something. I don't know. But something that requires a little less brain power might be good to do during those times when
definitely
you don't work as well.
Yeah, like,
or, like, doing housework or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, I even had, I have certain readings for my, like, creative writing classes, and, like, a certain amount of it is, like, it's in the same book, but, like, half of it is textbook, and then half of it is, like, short stories that are, like, they exemplify what you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the textbook stuff I find good to learn, good to study, like, in the morning. And then the stories I find, you know, any other time of the day, I'm good to do it. But, you know, I need to take in the, like, facts.
Yeah.
I need to be a bit more at, like, a height in my awareness. Just so I'm actually taking it in and I'm not just skimming it like I do with other readings.
And then also with that, doing little tasks at night. I recently watched a video that was talking about how you have, like, a certain amount of, like, decision-making willpower in your brain that you can use. And you can use it up really fast just with little things like making yourself make your bed in the morning and stuff. And obviously, like, you should probably make your bed in the morning. I mean, making it at night kind of doesn't really make sense. But in general, like, cleaning up, like, your workspace
at night
is actually better. So I used to clean it up, like, that would be my first thing, so then I could feel like I got something done in the morning and then I could sit down and work and be all motivated.
But that's all that.
But it's actually better to just clean up your desk or wherever you're going to be working, your kitchen table or whatever, the night before, and then go to bed. Like, after you've already done all that work and you're kind of exhausted, just tidy up your workspace, and then the next morning you can just sit down and get right to work.
Yeah.
And it'll actually help a lot. So I definitely recommend that, because I've been doing that recently and I think it's worked a bit.
I would say it has.
I also, like, I clean up my whole room at this point because I have a very, very small dorm room, so it's sort of everywhere is my workspace, honestly. So, yeah, so I clean up my room the night before, so that way everything's kind of clean and I can start the day in a nice clean space, and I just make my bed and then I go about my day. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps a lot too.
I completely agree. Well, because I know when my room is just, or like my desk specifically, when it's a complete mess and I cannot tell where anything is and there are papers everywhere and like just pens and all this garbage and like I literally have like a centimeter of space that I can work in, I just literally, like, the end, I'm so, like, uptight, and I'm just, like, I can't work, it's not happening, I'm just gonna cry and sleep, and then, like...
I think it's good, too, when it comes to time management, too, because if you think about it, if you clean up your desk at, like, right before you go to bed, chances are you're not gonna be doing language tasks or other tasks you have throughout your day that late at night.
Yeah.
So if you use that time to kind of tidy up your living space, it saves you all the time the next day.
Yeah.
When you can then get right into, maybe that saves you a half hour in the morning when you can study a language before you go to work or something like that.
Definitely.
So I definitely think that sort of doing general like housekeeping, tidying things at
night
is a lot
better
for allowing yourself to have time during the day to do
mm-hmm.
things for yourself.
I completely agree.
And
I think I learned that from you, honestly.
Yeah, and then just in general, I'd say, like you said, when your desk is a mess and stuff, like, stay organized. Find an organizational system that works for you, as well as, like, planning and keeping your house organized and things.
Can I share my organizational system?
Yes.
It is to just take your objects that are all over your desk and just make them all in line with one another. Just keep them parallel and perpendicular, and then everything will be okay. If you get them, like, to the corner of the desk, and then everything
this
is
in line
over
this works
for
some people, but if you're
this
me...
Works. Sometimes
it
this
doesn't.
Works, honestly. Like, if I have a lot of books that need to be out, I'll just, like, I'll line them up. Or I'll pile them up, and, like, listen, everything's all right with the world. I also...
For some.
...am diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder, but that's besides the point. It's okay.
Is it, though? Yeah, so I'd say just find an organizational system in terms of keeping track of everything you have to do, your appointments, your tasks, and keeping your things organized, be it
yeah.
your language books and things, just so you're
your
not
physical
spending
space
time
and your mental space.
Figure,
keep it
yeah.
I always say a clean desk is a clean mind.
It ends up saving you a lot of time that, again, can be used for other things. And I think that's a big thing, too, is figure out when you have time for things. Because... really, like, everyone's like, find time or, like, make time
you
for the important things. And, like, in a sense that, like,
bottom
doesn't necessarily work.
Exists.
But the thing is
care.
Even when you feel like there's not time, is I need you to now take a minute, everyone. Close your eyes. How many hours do you think you spent on your phone yesterday?
Oh, I don't spend
time. Or, like, just on the internet. Just, like, on Facebook.
Okay.
Or,
okay.
like, on something that's not productive. And I'm not necessarily saying cut all of that out, but I think if you think about that, and you can open your
eyes. Half of this time is us playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
so.
I think you can open your eyes. Like, if you limit the amount of time you're spending just kind of, like, scrolling through Twitter after you finish a task or whatever, you'd end up finding a lot of time, because 5 minutes every few hours throughout the day can add up to be a lot of time, and maybe it's an hour, maybe it's longer, and you could easily put a little bit of language learning there. And whether you break it down into all of those 5 minute sections or you save that hour and do it at one point, I think it's important to look through your day and kind of see what you're up to. And I think that's where those hourly schedules actually help a little bit, is if you find you're a person that wastes a lot of time, maybe that's a good way to stop wasting a lot of time, is to realize where you're doing, is to make yourself like an ideal schedule and stick to that for a day. And see how much you can accomplish when you're not just browsing
yeah.
the internet or
yeah.
randomly doing other things and procrastinating the work you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say that I used to be such a big procrastinator.
Me too, man.
Honestly.
Oh my God.
And I think that's where the bullet journal really helped me, was I stopped procrastinating for some reason.
Because now you have, like, things
and,
to check off.
Well, I always had a planner, so I'm not sure necessarily why that was, but,
I didn't always have a planner. I always had an agenda, and they're different, because an agenda doesn't necessarily mean... I know some people check off things in their agenda, but, like, I wouldn't. I never thought of that.
Oh, see, I had an agenda, too, but I would check stuff or cross stuff. I don't know. I did something, too, when I finished
yeah,
it. No. But I think maybe more so the bullet journal was I had to be very active in putting things in there, because I had to make my spread and stuff, so it involved
yeah.
me more and made me actually realize how much I had to be doing. And made me actually
get stuff
done.
Your time becomes much more precious and, like, valuable than when you
yeah.
realize how fragile it is.
Yeah, so I think just not procrastinating and just figuring out when you
stop
are procrastinating.
Stop watching this podcast. Go work. Jeez, guys.
Like, figuring out when you're procrastinating or when you're just on your phone and you're like, Oh, I could definitely be saving this time for something better.
I could be using this time on my phone to listen to a language podcast, honestly.
I could be going to youtube.com/polyglotpartners right now.
All
right,
slow down there.
So, I think just little things like that, figuring out how much time you have and using it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then,
I'm interested to hear about this one.
Oh, yeah. So another one is, like I was saying earlier, like, getting healthy. So, like, sleeping
Treat
enough.
Treat your body well, because that's what you
Not
put
Not just
into
sleeping.
It
sleeping
out.
Enough. Eating, like, good food for you, and then, like, exercising.
I have had this realization coming to college that, like, man, I just can't eat garbage all the time, because, like, I'm not a healthy eater. You look at me, hey, you know?
That's what, like, people look at them, they're like, hey, you know?
But, like, coming to college, it's been like, oh, wow, you know, I can't mess around, really. You know, my body is a temple, and I need to put into it, I need to sustain it.
Wow.
And, like, doing fencing, like, I can't just put garbage into my body and get good results. I really need to, like, treat myself better, and, like, even coming down to, like, the mental energy that college has required me to, like, put into every day. Like, man, it's taxing, and without enough proper energy and, you know, care, I honestly would fall apart. And, you know, I still fall apart every now and then. We went out to a reptile expo, and I came back that night, and my hands were shaking. My hands were shaking. And I was
He'd eaten, like, sugar all day, essentially.
It was not enough food in the first place, but anything that I had eaten that day was, like, riddled with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I couldn't have gotten any work done that day, because I was, like, dizzy, my hands were shaking, and, like, I've never had that before, so it was like, whoa, what?
It's like then when you realize the end. It's like your old lifestyle, you could have survived off of that, but then when you have to be, like, walking more, using more mental energy, like... But basically, I thought of this because, like, I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but my sophomore year of high school, which was exactly 4 years ago, because I'm now a sophomore in college.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I was probably, like, the least healthy person ever, and it was because I had such a heavy workload, because I was taking, like, upper-level classes in AP Bio, which I've heard is actually, most people agree, is, like, the hardest AP, and
it is a time.
AP Bio is seriously, like, a time, especially when you realize you're not good at science while you're in AP Bio. me. But, I literally would go to sleep around midnight, 1 a.m., and I'd wake up at 4 a.m., and I'd work. I'd be working from the time I got home from school at, like, 3 p.m. till midnight, and then I'd wake up at 4 a.m. and work till, like, 6:30 when I had to go to school again.
This sounds like the kids in the IB program that couldn't figure out how to manage time. Like, they worked like that, and I was like,
well,
I was like, guys, I haven't pulled an all-nighter all year. How
I think part of it was time management, but, yeah, I literally, and I can tell you that I probably could have gotten this work done in regular hours had I slept more. The thing is, like, once I started sleeping like that,
it's
then you're so sleep deprived, and it takes you like 3 hours to do an assignment that probably would be 2 hours. And I think last year, even, there were a few times where I was like, man, I have to finish this thing, but I was like, I'm going to bed. It is it's bedtime.
I'm gonna share a really bad advice that my brother gave me of how he was getting his summer assignment done on the last day before it was due. So what he was doing, it was, like, really late at night, and what he would do was put a timer on his phone for, like, 10, 15 minutes, and put the ringer on as high as it goes, and put it on his chest, and he would fall asleep.
Oh. All right, well, I don't suggest this.
And he would fall asleep, and it would get him up, and he would get right up, and he'd put on coffee, and then he would be drinking coffee until, like, 2 a.m., and he'd just doing this cycle of, like, working for half an hour, going asleep, waking up, drinking coffee. I'm like, this is the most unhealthy thing a person can
do.
All
right, well, that's not what you should do. But, yeah, no, I even, like, my junior year of high school, like, I kind of, after my sophomore year, I had, like, full-blown the other way, where I was like, I'm going to bed at 9 p.m. But, basically, at this point, like,
if I'm
still working on an assignment at a certain time, it's time to just shut. If I'm not done, like, it's too bad. It's getting, unless it's, like, maybe if it, like, made or broke my grade, like, maybe I'd keep doing it. But I haven't had that in college. So, like, The thing is, like, I work, and if I need to go to bed, I can work on the assignment the next day, even if it's, like, more pressing to do it then. Like, I'd rather get the sleep, and I found that it works. And, like, recently, like, in the past, like, I guess a year or so, I've been trying to eat a lot better and exercise a lot more. And there have been studies that have been done that say that, like, if you, the more you exercise, like, the better you do when it comes to studying, remembering things, learning languages, that sort of thing, because I guess, like, the endorphins you release help make neural pathways or something. Don't quote me on that, but you can quote me on... Listen, I took AP Bio. No, I, like, don't remember anything from that class. but, yeah, so, like, just getting yourself healthier will help you with your time management in general, because then you'll be able to, like we said, like, otherwise you fill up an hour with that assignment. It's the same deal as, like, if you're exhausted, you're not going to be focusing on the assignment as well, and you're going to take longer to do something that's simple. I also, something that's kind of inspired me recently when it comes to, like, working out and that sort of thing, even though I'm so busy, is there's, like, a quote, I think it might actually be, like, Thomas Franklin or something, but there is, like, a quote that's about how if you don't have time to be healthy now, you better have time to be sick later.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you always put garbage in your body, you're probably gonna have, like, cholesterol problems or, like, some sort of thing happen that then you're gonna have to get surgery for, or, like, do all those things later on if you don't eat well, or, like, if you're just always... if you never sleep and you put garbage in your body, you're probably going to get, like, a cold or a flu or something, like...
And so to bring that back to languages, if you don't make time to learn languages now, you won't have time to speak it later.
That's true. But just in general with time management, if you're going to get sick, then you're probably not going to want to learn a language. Unless you're always at your job, and maybe then taking a sick day would mean that you could learn languages.
Which I don't advise.
I don't advise that either. You didn't hear that here. So, I mean, I'd say just, like... get yourself healthy, because it'll end up helping you in the long run when it comes to time management like that. And
health begets health.
It'll, like I said, like, it'll help you then get the tasks done in a shorter amount of time, which will allow you to have more time to study language.
Honestly.
Yeah, and that's it. Just my last thing is just, like, commit to things. So, like, give your energy to things when you're working on them. So don't, like, be, like, doing something but thinking about all the things you have to do later, which, again, is why planning's great. Mm-hmm. That's why getting enough sleep is great. That's why being healthy is great. Like, all these things, because if you're not giving your full amount of energy to the task at hand, it's going to take you so much longer to do it, and then it's going to push everything back. But if you just focus on one thing, then you can focus on the next thing, and it'll be a lot better.
I was saying before how I really like deep work, and there's this concept which I think... Colorful Geek talks about. I think that's probably where I heard it from. And it's a concept that, like, I've honestly learned from fencing, and that's where, like, you know, you leave your troubles at the door, and then they'll be there for you when you get back. And, like, so when I go into fencing, I do not think about anything else for the like 2-4 hours until I'm out of fencing and my gear's off and everything. And honestly, that concept has, like, it's been, like, bleeding over into my studying more and more, because, like, I've been finding how much I enjoy, like, just Do Not Disturb is on, phone is, like, it's facing down, you know, I am working now, and this is my time, because what I do right now is only going to influence me, and the work I put in is going to come back to me tenfold at another time. And so it's, like, self-investment, basically, and it may be hard to see in the moment, and a lot of times, we're not saying that we don't get tired, and that there are days where we just can't work.
I mean, we've said throughout the whole thing, we've had a hard time balancing polyglot progress and balancing languages recently.
You guys have heard how many times I want to learn Hungarian, and I can literally say nem magyarul beszélek, and that means I don't speak Hungarian, because that's all I know. Okay?
And I think it's also important to note that sometimes time management then has to go into the many other things you're doing and not include language learning. We've talked before about how sometimes it's important to recognize that now is not the time to be doing language learning. There's so many people that do push that, like, you always have the time thing, and sometimes you mentally need to take a break. And so recently, that's why we have taken the first few weeks of school to adapt to our schedules, so that way we're not failing our classes because we're also trying to do languages. But now, as we start to manage that time, like, I'm starting to feel very comfortable with the way I've managed my time, so I think I'm ready to add language studies. And so I think the place for you to start, if you feel like you don't have time for learning a language, is to take a step back and look at the rest of your life and how you can manage that time, whether it's recognizing that you spend a lot of time on social media that you don't need to spend on social media, whether it's finding ways to get through tasks or figuring out you need more sleep so that way you can focus on things better and get them done in shorter amount of time.
If you're, like, just not giving yourself enough energy, as you mentioned food,
Yeah, just, like, recognizing that...
what your body needs and what you need to do.
What you need, and then realizing, like, once you have that done, be like, oh, I feel comfortable with my current work, school, whatever schedule. It's time to add a language. So I think sometimes that's something to just step back and look at, because I think once you balance the rest of your life, it becomes a lot easier to balance your language life.
Most definitely.
Or if you don't have anything else going on, if you're someone that's out of school right now, doesn't have a job going on right now, like me over the summer, then you can just entirely apply this to the language learning. But, yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's... that's about it. I guess final note is, as a disclaimer, these are things that worked for us, so...
Yeah, these are not universals in
so, I mean, there
aspect.
Might be also things that we did not mention, so if you'd like to mention those down below, that would be great.
Please do suggest them.
Also, I've been asking this a lot recently, but I'm going to ask it again. If you guys have ways that you like to squeeze language learning into a busy schedule, please let us know. Which is especially relevant
for
this.
Friends.
So ask for time management, like, recommend time management things, recommend ways to squeeze in language learning with a busy life, and then go and read through them for each other, too. Like, I always get a lot of interesting information
from
you guys,
comments,
so it would be great if you guys go through and
read
it, too, because there's always really great stuff.
All right. Thank you guys very much. And remember,
practice
makes
progress.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.